is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Continuing with Patrick K. O'Donnell, the book The Unvanquished, The Untold Story of Lincoln's Special Forces, The Manhunt for Mosby's Rangers, and The Shadow War That Forged America's Special Operations. It is August 1864. Phil Sheridan, the cavalry genius, is in command in the Shenandoah Valley, Virginia. Ulysses Grant is in command of all the forces of the Union. Grant's distinction here is that he is going to attack and attack and attack. However, he's aware that the irregular forces, the partisans of the Valley, are very much undermining the credibility of the Lincoln government of the North. So he wants it solved, and he writes to Phil Sheridan, a man whom he will intimately trust the rest of their lives together. He writes him and says, I want you to deal with the men of the Valley in this fashion. Where any of Mosby's men are caught, I want you to hang them without trial. And I want you to destroy any crops, animals, and slave persons without hesitation. And all men under 50 in the Valley are to be made prisoners of war. Patrick, congratulations again. Grant is enraged. And he writes Phil Sheridan what is to be done. This would have been total war. This would have been a burned landscape. It would have resembled things that we saw in the 20th century. Does Sheridan follow his orders? Thank you.
Not entirely. In fact, especially with the prisoners, he does not follow the orders entirely. And this is something that Philip Sheridan is known for. He follows some orders. He follows the orders that he wants to follow. But this isn't one of them, because he recognizes that the election is looming and there's an information war raging. And this is detrimental. The death of civilians, for instance, is extremely a hot topic, or burning their homes. And he executes some of these orders. And the trigger for this was known as the Berryville Great Wagon Raid. And Mosby and his men had destroyed hundreds of wagons, part of a massive wagon train. This is part of Philip Sheridan's advance towards Winchester. And he destroys the wagon train, and it becomes a disaster from an optics sense, but also from a supply sense. He didn't properly guard them. And Mosby's men have a field day capturing and killing many of the men, and also burning the wagons. And they need a solution. And that solution is Richard Blazer and Blazer scouts, the Legion of Honor, the manhunters that had taken out the Thurmans, that had led the armies at parts of the point, now were given the task of taking out Mosby. And this is a formidable task, because Mosby is almost always defeats anything that ever comes against him. And they arm Blazer and his men, which are about 100 strong at this point, with the Spencer carbine. It's kind of the machine gun of the Civil War. You can, a regular rifle will fire two or three rounds, maybe four if you're really skilled in battle. But the Spencer is a lever action, which allows the bullet to go into the chamber, and you fire the trigger, and it's as fast as you can pull that lever, up to 20 rounds in some cases or more. And they're armed with this new technology that's, very deadly. They're given carbines and rifles to hunt Mosby. And this is the great manhunt that takes place. And Blazer sets out, and they're very skilled at what they do. They use detective work to figure out where the Rangers are located, and they have success right away. They annihilate and capture a portion or one of Mosby's companies at a place called Myers Ford, which is on the border of West Virginia and Virginia. And they're then one of Mosby's nemesis that there's a mark on them, and then Mosby is plotting to eliminate Blazer.
I want to make a detail here that mitigates some of the hero worship of Mosby. He rode with a man named Moberly, 19 years old, I believe, And Moberly or Moberly was a villain, a man who ravaged the countryside, apparently committed outrages in all directions. We can only guess at what they were. And Mosby is not the kind of commander who would have been indifferent to that reputation. And yet he rode with Moberly. I believe he was uncomfortable about it.
It was a situation where this Moberly character, who is a real bushwhacker, and he tortures Union prisoners. They occasionally rode together when they were in the vicinity. But it was not somebody that was, I'll make this clear, they were not part of Mosby's command. And had they been part of Mosby's command, they would not have been tolerated. But what happens is sometimes they're in the same area, and then they kind of ride in an operation together. But yeah, it's Moberly is a ruthless individual that literally takes Union prisoners and he binds them up with rocks and lets them die on boulders on the side of a mountain, of die of thirst and let birds attack them. And he's just a horrendous person that eventually meets his end from a Union bullet.
I wanted to underline the fact that this is not something you can control once you wander into outlawry. And oftentimes outlaws and deserters were attracted to this kind of life. It was very difficult to maintain rules of engagement or discipline. It is nowhere close to what we call special forces today. There were tactics like that. But when you introduced Moberly, you were being extremely fair-minded about how awful a civil war can and often is, brother against brother.
Absolutely brutal. And then what we see is that Sheridan does tilt towards total war. And there's the burning season where the Shenandoah is put to the torch. Many homes and mills and farms are put to the torch through this total war, which is something that occurs in near total war, which occurs with Sherman as well. But this is a very brutal war. That just it goes on for years, and it's compelling on both sides, and it's a nuanced war that the Unvanquished brings that to light. And I had a glowing review on the first week of publication, which was a best selling week. The book was a bestseller on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, in the Wall Street Journal, that just absolutely praised this book
for providing a different side
of the war.
Which is where I stole the line about from the saddle. From that,
it is all from the saddle. It's just, this is not a this book puts you in the boots or in the saddle of these writers on both sides.
And you have
kind of a camera that just allows you to see what was going on.
They're 19 years old. Words. Many 19 year olds. Mosby's an old man in comparison. There is a combat, however, in which Blazer at Cabletown, also known as Myerstown. Patrick has two very good maps so you can follow this. And he's up against Mosby, and they fight hand in hand. And there's a man named Parier, who Cole, the commander of the other forces, tortures a little bit. And I worry about this because there's some vengeance in these fights as well. But again, Mosby wins the battle. Blazer is captured. Blazer, they don't execute him. They're going to take him to Richmond. And what's important here is of the escorts of Blazer to Richmond to turn him into a prisoner of war, there's one man named Terrible Powell. Who is he, Patrick?
His name is Lewis Powell, and he is one of Mosby's finest men. He is a handsome man that has a great deal of nuance in him. He likes small animals. He likes children. He's able to sort of talk his way out of anything. And in fact, he's an escaped prisoner. After the Battle of Gettysburg, he was taken to Baltimore, where he was at a hospital, and he literally walks out of the hospital ward with a Union uniform, and he's in the arms of his girlfriend, whose father, and she's also an operative, but his father is an operative with the Confederate Secret Service. And there's a link there in Baltimore. And then he makes his way back through to Confederate lines to eventually join Mosby's command. And he's a crack shot. He's got a number of different sides, a very, very ruthless side that comes out in numerous scenes, but also sort of an interesting and compassionate side. There's one scene where he is, there are Union soldiers that are about to be executed by civilians in Warrenton, Virginia, and Powell literally rides up and protects these men from execution. But it's at Cabletown or Myerstown that the Blazers command or Blazer scouts, this element of the Jesse scouts, meets their fate. And they had embarrassed Mosby twice, first at Myers Ford and then later on at a fight called the Vineyard, where they annihilated another company. And Mosby had it. He had enough of Blazer and the Legion of Honor running around in the Confederacy. So they planned a massive ambush. They took about 300 members of Mosby's Rangers, several companies, and they went out on a search and destroy mission to find Blazer. And it's in the Cabletown area where Blazer operated. They were on friendly terms with the population, which were largely unionists in many cases. And both groups were hunting each other. And they captured this guy who was one of the Rangers' purveyor. And they literally try to string him up to get information from him. It's a fake hanging, but it doesn't work. And he's put on a horse. And what happens is Blazer scouts then move towards an area near Cabletown or Myerstown, near the river, near the Shenandoah River, where Mosby, one of the companies, present themselves, but the other two are behind a rise and they don't see them. And initially they try to set up to utilize their Spencer rifles potentially as a ranged weapon. But Mosby decides, the element of Mosby's hand under Dolly Richards, who was his second, feints that they are retreating. And Blazer senses this as a retreat, and then they charge forward. And it's at that point the other two companies present themselves and annihilate Blazer scouts. And it's a running gun battle throughout the farmland here, and Blazer is on his horse riding as fast as he can along with another man to escape, and they're being pursued by Lewis Powell, right, and several of the other the Rangers that have the best horses, and they pepper away at them. It's this running, it's a battle on horseback to see who survives. And Lewis Powell is one of the men that captures Richard Blazer. My two of my main characters are confronting one another at this point. And it's Lewis Powell who takes Richard Blazer to Richmond.
And why that is significant, we will mention when we come back. Patrick K. O'Donnell is the author of The Unvanquished is the book. I'm John Battle.